come to see? You come to see a man, a prophet, one that buckles and trembles at God's word and give it to you straight and uncut. A man that is trying to please everybody and be politically correct and present this easy, sweet, sweet Jesus is a liar, and Jesus would not tolerate him 1 minute. He's too broad to be with Jesus. Jesus is narrow and he's politically correct. Therefore, he goes with the opinion of men instead of the opinion of God. Jesus is fanatical about himself and what he believes. TV is full of soft sell preachers. Smiling and grinning every time. Everything ain't worth smiling about. You have a wreck in your car, do you smile? You find out your mama got cancer, do you smile? I tell you, something else is not worth smiling about. Go somewhere when you have to use the restroom. And you go in that public place and it's too filthy to use it. You don't smile. There's some things not worth smiling about. There's some things that should upset you. There's some things that should grieve you. And there's some things ought to be to the place where I want to do something about it right now, but the circumstances is of such that it might be detrimental to my health to do it. And this is who Jesus lifted up. In other words, he gave his seal of approval that he's like me. If you think John the Baptist was rough and Jesus took the boys back, I'm greater than John. Let's get some more of this sweetest stuff. And it says, verse 9, but they that went out to see, what did you go out to see? A prophet and more than a prophet. This is he whom is written, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now notice, Jesus says it's written. That means we ought to be able to find it somewhere unless it is lost in the archives of the scripture. But this one is not. Malachi 3 is where Jesus is coming from. It's actually the next book to the left. So let's go look at Malachi 3. And what's Jesus quoting? Jesus is saying, Malachi says in 3:1, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Listen to God talk. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you understand that Jesus is letting the other people that are still there when he sent the other one off? John prepared the way for God. John prepared the way for God. John prepared the way for me. If you can't make the connect, it's because you can't see. John prepared the way. And I'm saying John was all of that. He wasn't soft. And he didn't vacillate. What else did it say? But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that he may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. This is what John was looking for. John was looking for him to come in and refine. Remember, he said he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But what Jesus is saying is, although John may not know the fullness of my mission and may not have considered that, he's still great. And John didn't lie. I'm still validating and authenticating the message that John gave. Bless his everlasting name. That's going to be very important when we get further along in the scripture and they challenge Jesus, and Jesus is going to go back and ask him about what John said. Listen to this. In Malachi, we could read on through to chapter 4, but instead of that, let's just turn for the sake of time and look at the fourth chapter, and let's look at the first verse, fifth verse of Malachi 4. It talks about in verse 1 how God's going to do and execute judgment. And it talks about in verse 2, the Son of Righteousness come. 3, how he's going to tread down the wicked. John knew what he was expecting. Verse 4 says, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send unto you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This is what John was expecting. Why don't you understand why he would send to say you're the one that should come? Look we for another? I'm hearing about your miracles. I'm hearing about you feeding people. I'm hearing all of this, but ain't nobody busted yet. Ain't nobody broke down yet. I ain't heard of one person getting the beat down. Not one. I mean, what's Herod still got me on lockdown? Look at verse 6. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Notice that in what is called the Old Testament, often the judgment is pronounced first, then what God's going to do. So what happens is many of these scriptures had twofold meaning. Some of it was fulfilled then and still has implication in the future. Just like, for instance, Gary. The boy Gary is still the man Gary, but he's not the boy Gary now, but he's the man Gary, but he's still Gary. Some of the scriptures had a fulfillment when they were written, but they still have an existence. So instead of God repeating it, it's like, pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying. So now that we dealt with that in John, I want you to look at how he brought that out. He'll prepare the face the way before thee, verse 10. Then he says in verse 11, he said, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Why would Jesus say that? You would think Elijah was greater. You would think Moses was greater. I mean, naturally just thinking, I would have thought Elijah was. I would have thought definitely Moses. But Jesus said, there's none greater. So let's look at what he says in verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist, unto now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied unto John, and if you will receive it, this was Elias or Elijah, which was to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now see, I've already read that where Elijah was coming before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So what we have to deal with here, what does he mean by the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence? You need to look these words up. Those of you all that have Greek study Bibles or a strong concordance, you'll find where it says suffereth violence. It's actually saying it proceeds with violence or it proceeds with force. So it says here that the kingdom of God proceeds with force. And it says, and the forceful are the ones that are by force, they take it by force. How is that written? How does that be understood? I thank God for some of the stuff that I've been reading lately that helped me to understand these things. Let's look at Micah 2 and 13 to kind of get where Jesus is coming from with that. Because other than that, you'll be led to think that the kingdom of God, violent people do things to people in the kingdom of God. They did it throughout the kings. They always killed the prophets. It suffered violence. And the one that did it took it by force and did it to the kingdom. Or then you would think that the kingdom of God suffers violence. If you understand, NIV give you a better translation of it on that verse. And that the kingdom of God suffers violence. And we're supposed to violently go take the kingdom. That's what some people think. We're supposed to be militant for Christ. That's the way some people take that. So let's look at what the scripture says and see if this right here helps. You like can turn the mic a little quicker than this. Dree, if you're already there, you can read it for me. Micah 2 and 13.
The breaker is come up before them.
The breaker. Let me draw you a picture. There's in Palestine or the areas where they kept sheep. They would either have a natural barrier because they had a lot of wooded area or a cliff or something like that. If not, they would make an encampment of circles of stones and things like that so that the sheep wouldn't come out. And at nighttime, sometimes the shepherd would lay across the opening, okay? And that way the sheep would be inside of the fold. And so it says the breaker has come forth what?
Before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate. And are gone out by it.
So what? Go ahead.
And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them.
So he's saying the breaker has broken forth. The breaker, John the Baptist, came, And notice it says the breaker and their king. The breaker has broken forth. He's opened the way. And now the sheep are rushing to come in. The sheep are rushing to come into the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The breaker has gone forth. He has broken open, and their sheep are ready to go in, and their Lord is before them. So when it says the kingdom of God is bursting into mankind, Jesus says, if I with the finger of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Any man that want to enter into the kingdom of God, Luke said they press their way into it. So what they would say, the picture is that when early in the morning when they would get up, the sheep would not want to be tied up like that. And when the shepherd breaks that open a little bit and moves out of the way, the sheep start running through, and it finished breaking the wall down so they could get in and out of the pasture to find food and nourishment. John has prepared the way for Jesus. And Jesus said that he is greater than the other prophets. He's in a better position because they prophesied and they talked about things that were to come. But John was actually here. John actually opened the door and presented him to the people. And he busted it open and said, here it is. Here it is, God's fulfillment. The breaker has come forth. And I hear that king going in before him. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. It's me by myself. I don't tolerate Buddha with me. I don't tolerate Muhammad with me. I don't tolerate political correctness with me. It's all about me, yes, and I do feel that I'm all of that. It's me. And I go in and out before my sheep, and I call them mine. Let's get back over here to John. First number 16 says, but what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace calling unto their fellows, saying, we have piped unto you, but you didn't dance. Can you imagine somebody up on the stage and they doing all their rap or they doing all their singing or they whatever, and you don't dance? Can you imagine somebody in the concert say, wave your hand in the air, and people don't wave? Or they get up on your feet and they don't get up on their feet? Or they start doing this to people and they just look at them. They said, we have piped to you. We played the music and you wouldn't dance. What else? Let me get my finger back in the right place. It says, we have piped, you didn't dance. We have mourned and you have not lamented. They remember we did that when they had talked about the girl, Jairus' daughter, and we talked about how they would have professional mourners. We mourned. We did a dirge. We made an elegy. And you didn't mourn. You didn't even weep. Like, what can we do? It's like a bad child. Or a child when they're upset. You offer them candy. You want to go out and play? You want to go to bed? You whip them? It's like, what do I do? Now they call it to their own associates that we've done all of this. But Jesus is using that as a picture. What's the picture? John came neither eating or drinking, and you say he has a devil. John came, he didn't play with you all. He was straight up. He didn't eat with you. He didn't drink with you. He didn't make fun with you. He just gave you the word of God, and he stayed to himself doing God's will, and you say he got a devil. He's so harsh. He's so whatever. You say he got a devil. Then it says the Son of Man came. Now, remember, the Son of Man is definitely the one in 7 and 13 Daniel that gets the kingdom. He said the Son of Man came eating and drinking. I come and sit with you. I come and eat with you. But you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. It's like, dog, how can you all be, if your person don't eat, because John is like me in as far as you can be as a prophet. He didn't eat and drink. You say he got a devil. I came and sat in Matthew's house, and I ate with them at the banquet, and I drank with them at the banquet, and I made wine for the wedding in Cana. And you say, I'm a gluttonous man. And you say, I'm a wine bibber. It's like, what? You all can't be pleased. Why? Because you don't like the word of God. You don't like righteousness. You don't like the way I do it. You don't like the way that God wants it done. So you just sit there and say, But what did Jesus say? And he says, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But Jesus said, but wisdom is justified of her children. He said, but wisdom is made known. Wisdom is vindicated, authenticated, and disseminated among the people by the fruit that it produces. Look at the children of wisdom. Look at the people that's turning. Look at the hearts that have changed. Look at the life that has changed. I'm not sitting with the publican and sinners getting high. I'm not sending them being like what they showing these things with Mary Magdalene trying to have an affair. I'm sitting down with them giving the word of God, and they're listening. And they're the one that need to be well. They that are sick are the one that need a physician. Bless his everlasting name. Verse 20. Let's look at Jesus be a little more politically incorrect and intolerant. Verse 20 says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. And that Jesus getting ready to lash out. That Jesus getting ready to bust them. You don't see no people doing no stuff like this. Most of the time you see people that will lash out and be intolerant is when you won't get them your tithe. When you won't get them their money. When you say that they lied, then they will lash out against you. Jesus began to upbraid these cities and show how intolerant he is. Let's look at it. Woe unto you. That's warning. Devastation on the way. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Why was Jesus going off on them? Why was Jesus snapping on them as it's called? Because they didn't repent. Unlike what a lot of people say, is that God has already chosen who will be saved before the world because he decrees it. Why would he snap on somebody that couldn't repent? And Jesus wasn't going out there no soft selling. He didn't have on no soft garment. He wasn't a reed shaking in the wind. He says, woe unto you. I'm going to tell you something. Bethsaida, Chorazin, if the mighty works that had been done in Tyre and Sidon with Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, brought all that Baal worship in, if they had had what I did done in you, they would have repented. In other words, it wasn't that they could not repent. They didn't have as much opportunity as you. And I say, it don't matter what John Calvin says. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. If I had done what I did in that day, they would have repented because I know them just like I know you. But you're saying, Jesus, you comparing people. You comparing things across time. I can do that. You act like you a know-it-all. I am. I am a know-it-all. I already said I'm the way. I've said I'm the truth. I said I'm the life. I say I'm the one that forgives sins. I said I'm the one that John prepared the way for. I mean, what else do I have to say? Duh. What does the next verse say? Verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which is exalted up to heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until today. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Thou, Capernaum, which exalt yourself up to heaven, just like in Isaiah 14, when it talks about Lucifer, who exalts himself to heaven and say he'll be like the Most High that was brought down. You have the same attitude. You have the same spirit. You have luxury. You have riches. You have exalted yourself because you got your little bling bling. But you're going to be brought down to hell. And I'm saying what is called a negative message. It's politically incorrect. I'm saying that it is intolerable. Why is it intolerable? Because I came. It's all about me. You all had Abraham. I'm better than Abraham. What do you mean, Tim? How do you say he had Abraham? Well, if you know the scriptures, we know that Lot got captured. And Abraham came and rescued the people and delivered Lot. So you all already know. You had angels. They had angels to come and judge them. And all they had was a little light from Abraham and whatever little light that Lot gave them. And I know if I had came up in that camp, it would have remained until today. irrespective of what people say, they could have repented if I had came and did that, but it wasn't the time for the seed to be brought forth. And he said, Chorazin, you're going to be brought down to hell. It doesn't matter whether you don't like to hear hell and fire and brimstone, but this hell is down to desolation. The word is Hades, down to desolation. You're going to be brought down. And guess what? I was looking at my Bible and Spade. I have some books called Bible and Spade or whatever. You know, when it's e-books, you don't know if it's books or just articles, right? And they still haven't been able to find a lot of that. They're doing excavations and they find little pieces of the city, but it's not a thriving metropolis. It was brought down just like Jesus said it was. And he said it'll be more tolerable in the day of judgment. Do you know that they thought that Sodom was worse than them? They had all that kind of activity going on, the sodomites trying to rape the angels, and Jesus saying that it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom than it is for you. Do you want to tell me that that right there is not intolerant? Can't you understand we're a metropolis? We got things going on. You talking that narrow way of life. You talk like you're the only one. You sound like a bigot, Jesus. And? Next verse, 25. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, does this say that God decreed that different ones would not get to hear of his word and that God would just let them stay in the congregation of the damned because he chose to? It says he hid it from the wise and prudent. He hid it from those that think they know. For those that think they have their own way to get salvation. What do you mean, Tim, salvation? Tim, everybody ain't looking for salvation. Well, I beg to differ. Well, how do you plan to do that, Tim? Like this. Whether a person think in terms of salvation or not, they don't want to die and be destroyed. They do kind of wonder what's going to happen in the afterlife. What they going to do, is it going to, I'm afraid of what I don't know. If you're afraid of what you don't know, there's a spark of eternity in you that you know that something could be. And therefore, I'm going to live my life in such a way that I feel that no matter what happened, I'm going to be all right. Even if that means that when I die, that nothing else happens. But since I don't know if nothing else happens, that means I got a belief system that is contrary to what Jesus says. And therefore, Jesus is not going to tolerate this because he's narrow-minded, because he's politically incorrect. He's going to go and try to force his religion on me or say I'm going to hell. Yes, that's him. But they say he's a bigot. And yes, he is fanatical about himself and his father. He said that's the only way to God. We all have a belief system. We all have a way that we feel that we should live, that we are willing to go to our grave living that way. Whether we think it through or not. And Jesus says, he hid it from the wise and prudent. Those who think they can get a better way, a different way that God will tolerate something else. My little bill is Friday when I went to refinance my house. First thing the lawyer thought, one of the first things she's telling me, I just wish people didn't have all these problems with religion. They all are the same. She don't know the real Jesus. He is absolutely unequivocally intolerant. You know, don't compare me with these so-called leaders, or His Holiness Dalai Lama. Jim Jones, Muhammad, Buddha, Zoroaster, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, whatever other god, Ahura Mazda. You don't compare me with those people. I'm narrow. It ain't all the same. What she said is politically correct. She contradicts Jesus. He said, I'm the only way. And yes, if you want to say that's bigoted, he only believes in himself and his way, so be it. In the denotative sense of the word, we all should be bigoted when it comes to Jesus. Not bigoted against somebody because of their color, their ethnic group. Not because of who they are, but we just going to be bigoted towards. Are we going to have our life toward him? And if that excludes other lifestyles, that's just the way it is. Because if you don't choose Jesus, you bigoted against him. You've chosen other lifestyle. You don't prefer him. You might call him a right-wing Christian conservative. You might call him a Bible thumper. You might call him religious fanatics. Don't pretend like we all don't have something we adhere to. I'm not gonna let you. Not gonna let you sell me that tar on a piece of sheet or wax paper and call it a cookie. I'm not gonna do it. Jesus says, verse 27, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, save the Father." Let me read again. "All things are delivered to me by my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and whomsoever the Son will reveal it." Jesus is saying, look, all things are delivered unto me. Do you understand that all things mean that there's everything? Why would he have to be tolerant if everything is his? I mean, really, why would he have to be open and broad-minded if all things are his? Why would he have to care about what we think if all things are his? And why would he have to subjugate himself to our opinions, thoughts, and our processes if everything is his? He says, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man." Look at this, how narrow this is. "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father." Oh, you ain't not got that kind of relationship with God. Yes, that's the way Jesus taught. And he says, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomever the Son will reveal him. Is that not narrow-minded? Is that not bigoted? If bigot mean that you totally are fanatical about your own group or your own opinion, etc. He said, no, nobody know the Father but me. Now, let's don't sell this soft sell this Jesus like he's somebody that's all with everything and everything we do and every opinion. Because he don't present himself like that. Neither does Matthew present him like that. Then he says, look, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavily laden, loaded down." That's what the term out when they would load ships. They would call it laden to load. "That are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all of you that seek to have an end time for yourself. All of you that are working through trying to figure out how you're going to prepare yourself for the ultimate day when you're no longer here in this body in the day of judgment come. Come unto me, all you that labor. The work and are heavily laden, whether it's with the rituals and things that the Pharisees put on, their rules and regulations that they add, if it's the things that you've learned from your religion, because they had Roman religions then, they had some Persian religion in there. All of you that are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Now, understand this, what he's saying, if you don't come to me when you're heavily laden, I won't give you rest because I'm intolerant. I won't give you rest because I'm narrow. The only way you get the rest is come to me. I won't give it to you if you don't come my narrow way. And it's politically incorrect to not accept everybody on their terms. Because people want God to accept them on their terms. Most church people want Jesus to accept them on their terms. He says, come to me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest. Now, don't you think that's a little bit thinking a whole lot about himself? Talking about he can give you some rest? But then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. Take my yoke. In other words, he's saying that the only way to get this rest is take my yoke. Who wants to be yoked? Well, Romans 6 and 16 says, whoever you yield your members, servants to obey his servant or slave you are to whom you obey. He says, take my yoke, become my servant, become my slave, my indentured servant, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do what's necessary to learn of me. Go to school at his word and learn of me like John was able to understand because I'm meek and lowly at heart. And you'll find rest of your soul. My yoke is easy. What's the work? What's the work? Believe on him that God has sent. That's the work of God. Learn of what I got to have. Learn why I'm intolerant. You got to be that way. Learn why it's a narrow way. Because I'm the one that's going to die for you. I'm the one that's going to die and rise up for you. Learn why I'm politically incorrect. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else is righteous enough. No one is holy enough to live the life for you. Learn why they think I'm a bigot, because I'm the only one that has access to the Father and can bring you into his presence. Take my yoke. you find rest. But if you don't take my yoke, you won't find rest. You've had anger, turmoil, and death.